Faith is the entryway into our new relationship with God, our restored relationship, our new life. Faith is the entryway into that. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, the Bible says, For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So all of us came to Christ by faith. We placed our faith and trust in Him. That is what we have in common. And by placing our faith and trust in Christ, we become members of God's family. And we all become brothers and sisters in Christ. Once we are a child of God, we want to please our Heavenly Father. So we are to live by faith. Hebrews 11:6, Dr. Doan read that verse in his passage. But it says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So faith is obviously very important in our life. It brings us to God through Christ, and then it helps us to live a life that is pleasing to God. We're told in Romans 1:17, the verse that launched the Reformation as Martin Luther got a hold of this truth, the just shall live by faith. So not only are we saved by faith, but we, as children of God, are to live by faith. We're to live by faith. So faith is a vital part of our life in Christ, whether it's new life in Christ or continued life in Christ. But friends, in our lives, there is the ever-present danger of walking by sight. Okay? Now, of course, we're not talking about our physical, literal walking, okay? We do need to walk that way by sight. Don't close your eyes and say, I'm walking by faith. Don't close your eyes when you're driving down Route 3 and say, I'm driving by faith, okay? We're talking about our spiritual life here, okay? We're talking about our spiritual life. There is a great temptation for us that we we live our Christian experience based on what we see. And a lot of times we think God is blessing because maybe there's numbers. Now that's true, it may be. But that, you know, we need to be careful that we don't live our Christian life and base our Christian experience on what we see. Because sometimes God does bless with numbers, but sometimes God continues to bless even though there is no numbers. So we need to be careful that we don't live our Christian experience based on what we see. To view the work of God in His church or in His life by what we see is dangerous. Our verse for consideration, 2 Corinthians 5:7. You will notice it's a parenthetical verse. There's parentheses around it, okay? Let's go back to grammar class here for a little while. Why is something placed between parentheses in a sentence? Well, it is to enclose supplemental information or to clarify or to illustrate. Now, the context of chapter 5, verse 7 is chapter 4 and 5 in 2 Corinthians, where Paul is speaking about our fragile earthly ministry. Our ministry, what we do for God as we minister in this body, in this world, it's very fragile. So we have this fragile earthly ministry on one side, and on the other side, we have the promise of heaven. And in between there is how we live. And he reminds the Corinthian believers of their confidence that we are to have in God and His Word. Therefore, because we have this confidence, Paul in chapter 4 tells us, don't lose heart. Don't give up. And he pauses in his letter and he gives us this parenthetical thought, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, the last verse. 2 Corinthians 4, 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. All the things, friends, that you and I see are temporal or temporary. You know, the nice car that's in your garage that you try all winter to ward off the effects of salt. You wash it and you go to the car wash when it's freezing and you put your money in and you get out there with the hose and you're washing it underneath. Eventually, what's going to happen to that car? It's going to become a rust bucket. It's not going to pass inspection and you're going to have to visit a dealership and buy something new. Everything's temporary. This world is temporary. Everything we can see with our eyes is temporal. Everything we see is the result of living in a fallen world. Genesis chapter 3, the fall came when Adam and Eve sinned and all of the world was plunged into sin. And not only did it affect Adam and Eve and their children, but it affected even the world. And we have examples of this in chapter 4 and 5, where Paul tells us the examples of living in a fallen world. One of the things we struggle with is sin. One of the things we struggle with is death. Death is a result of the fall. There is decay. There is dishonesty. There is darkness. This is all in the context of chapter 4 and 5. There is trouble. There's distress. There's perplexity. There's persecution. There's pain. There's affliction. There's spiritual blindness. And on and on and on I could go. This is because we live in a fallen world. This is what we see. Could you imagine if our eyes were always focused on all of that? And people without Christ who have no hope, that is all they see. But God has given us faith. And God has given us the eye of faith. And the verse in 2 Corinthians 4:18, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So here we have a comparison. Things that are seen, things that are not seen. Things that are seen are temporary. Things that are not seen are eternal. And again, examples from chapter 4 and 5. The bad example, the things that are seen, result of a fallen world. The things that are not seen are a result of the redemptive world and the result of redemption because we've been redeemed. We now have ministries. We can minister to God. We are a kingdom of priests, we're told, who offer sacrifices and ministry to God. Before we came to Christ, we could not come to God with any gift that He would accept. We have ministry, we have mercy, we have the Word of God, we have the gospel, we have God's light, we have the ability of being God's servants and slaves, we have peace, we have comfort, We have companionship. We have strength. We have day by day renewal. We have abundance of grace. We have righteousness. We have glory. We have heaven. We have eternal life. Again, this is chapter 4 and 5. Paul comparing that which is seen and that which is not seen. That which is of the natural eye, that which is of the spiritual eye. That which we can see, and that which is by faith. Therefore, he encourages people. Chapter 5, verse 7, walk by faith, not by sight. I want to ask five questions based on our text today. Five questions. And the first question is, what in the world does it mean to walk by faith? What does it mean to walk by faith? Okay, Paul says walk by faith, not by sight. What does that mean? Notice first with me, first two words, for we. Okay, we. Who is the we? Well, this is all Christians, friends. This is all Christians, not just a few, chosen few. It wasn't just the apostles. It wasn't just Paul. It's not just for missionaries. It's not just for pastors. But we, all of us. So this admonition is for every child of the God. For we walk. Now that word walk here in the Greek word is peripatheo. And it means to live. It means much more than just walking. And it's also in the Greek a present indicative word. So it's action taking place at the present time. When I am in the present, which is now, I am to be walking by faith. So if it is in the present tense, how often should I be walking in faith? All the time. Until you're no longer in the present. And God removes you to heaven, like our dear brother Hayden, whose faith now has become sight. Okay? So, it carries the idea, for we walk, it carries the idea of moving forward in life. Walking implies progress, does it not? I am going to walk from point A to point B. And eventually you get from point A to point B. So, walking implies progress. So, when this word is used in relationship to our life, it carries the idea, I am presently moving on in my life. Every step of my life, every stage of my life, whether I've been a Christian for 2 minutes or 2 decades, I am moving on. I am walking. I am living by faith. Everything I do is by faith. And the word faith here, for we walk by faith. In the Greek, the word faith is pistis, and it means conviction. It's not just a blind faith. It's not just a hope-so hope, but it's the idea of conviction. Okay? The word speaks of spiritual sight. We walk by faith. And we have convictions because of our faith. We know these things are true. How many of us have seen with the physical eye Jesus Christ? None of us. But we're convicted that there is such a person because the Word of God tells us. How many of us have seen heaven? None of us. But we're convicted there is such a place because of our faith. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And here the word sight in the Greek is the word eidos, and it means appearance. It means what we see with the natural eye. Friends, our life is not based upon what we see as believers, but our life is based upon what we believe, what we hope, and what we trust. What do we see out in this world? Not very much good stuff anymore. Yes, there is the beauty of God's creation, and we praise Him for that, but that's all decaying. The old man fell off the mountain. You know, things happen. Beautiful trees get struck by lightning and fall down. You know, and beautiful snow melts away. Beautiful green turns to beautiful colors and falls off. It's always changing. It's always decaying. We see people, many people whom we love, but there's sin in the world. All of us, as we go through life, are to live each moment by faith. So what does it mean to walk by faith? It means to base your life, every moment of your life, on the conviction that what God's Word says is true. And I believe it, whether no one else does, or even when it makes no sense. Second question, why is this so hard to do? Why is it hard to live by faith? The context of our verse, again chapters 4 and 5, show us the difficulty of ministering in this present sin-cursed world. Our bodies, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this treasure. We have this eternal life. We have the Spirit of God dwelling in us in such fragile material, the human body. And why is it so hard to do? Because, friends, we always have the constant internal battle with unbelief. Turn with me to Mark chapter 9. Turn back a few books. Matthew, Mark, second gospel. Matthew, Mark, chapter 9, verse 23 to 24. Jesus just comes down off the mountain of transfiguration with his disciples. He only took a few disciples up with him. As he comes down, he noticed there's this commotion, and there is this father there with a son whom he loves, and this son is possessed by a devil, and this devil, and he's dumb, he can't talk, and this devil takes him and throws him in the fire. He foams at the mouth, and this is this father's terrible plight. And in Mark chapter 9, verse 23 and 24, Jesus says to him, his disciples could not heal him, and this man pleads with Jesus, please, heal my son. And Jesus said unto him, verse 23, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. Notice the father. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Notice the battle. Help thou my unbelief. See the battle? I believe you can do it. But, help my unbelief. So, when the father walked by sight, what did he see? Look at verse 20. They brought unto him, when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he said to his father, how long is it ago since this came upon him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it casts him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. So the father says, Jesus, I believe you can do it. But what is he looking at? He's looking at the son on the ground, wallowing and foaming. Lord, I believe you can do it. Help my unbelief. And this is where we find ourselves so often, straddling that fence, reading God's word and saying, I believe. And then we go out in the world, oh, help my unbelief. We have the example of Peter in Matthew chapter 14. Jesus sends the disciples away, and a storm comes on the boat. And as they're out there on the boat, bailing and fearing for their life, Jesus comes up to them walking on the water. A terrifying sight, I'm sure. And Peter, the Lord says, "Don't worry, it's I." And Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come on out." So the Lord says, "Come on out. The water's fine. Come on." What does Peter do? Peter walks on water when he's looking at Jesus. His faith is in the Lord. But then it says in the text, as he's out there, now don't give Peter too hard of a time. How many of you have ever walked on water that wasn't frozen? All right? I even walk on frozen water like this because I'm a big guy. I like to send bigger guy. When Pastor Nate was here, we went out fishing, ice fishing. You first. You go first. So Peter's out there and he begins to look around. And as he's looking around, he sees the wind boisterous and the waves. And what did he begin to do? Sink. Cried out, "Lord, save me." Of course, the Lord saved him, pulled him in the boat. But again, friends, when our eyes are on the Lord, we're walking by faith. When our eyes are on our situation, we're walking by sight. And what do? When we walk by sight, we sink in the situation. And the situation overwhelms us. Number three, how is it even possible to live by faith? How is this possible? By the faith that God gives us. Faith, friends, is the result of the new birth. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? Word of God." Part of that test that I asked you to take in the beginning to see how your faith is and if you're living by faith is directly tied to your time in this book. Faith cometh by hearing the word of God. And if you're lacking faith, how is your devotion life? Because we gain faith as we read the promises of God. And we live by faith as we believe these promises of God. And faith, friends, is a gift of God. And God gives us more faith as we trust Him more and prove Him more. So how is it possible? Because God says it's possible to live by faith. Because the faith that He requires, He gives. So when is this, question number four, when is this true in your life? When is this true in your life? Friends, we must choose to walk by faith, not by sight. It's a choice we make. We come to a situation, and the situation makes no earthly sense. And we choose to walk by faith. Lord, I'm going to trust you in this. I'm going to trust you in this. I am not going to let fear and doubt take control. I'm going to trust you and your word. And friends, I'm going to find a promise to cling to. And I'm going to trust you. You promised me, fill in the blank. I believe that. And it's, friends, when do we have to make this choice? Every day, all the time. Remember, walking by faith, it's a present indicative mood. It's all the time. All the time. The faith you had yesterday won't do you any good today. You need fresh, new faith. Will I choose faith or sight? Remember Elisha and his servant? Elisha's sleeping, taking a nap. Servant's running around worrying because the enemy's coming. There are thousands and thousands of them. And he saw all the enemies and he was fearful. Elisha prays, "Open up my servant's eyes." And what did he see? All the angels around protecting them. Will I believe God and his word, or will I believe what I see? People come to my office and ask counsel, and they're struggling with things. And I say, "Well, God's word says," and they said, "Yeah, but my situation. You don't understand my situation." Maybe I don't, but God does. Sometimes it's a tough choice, friends. I will admit it. But am I going to believe God's word, or am I going to believe what I see? This is a lost, decaying, dying, fallen world. There is no hope in anything outside these doors. No hope. Don't bet all your fortunes on cryptocurrency. Okay? You might have good days, but you know what? It's worldly currency. Don't put all your hope in the stock market. Oh, it might be up. Your 401k might be doing good, but markets have fallen. Don't put your hope in your job, in your company, in your boss. Our hope should be in the Lord. So what does a life of faith look like? What does a life of faith look like? Last question. First off, not losing heart. Chapter 4 and 5 here, Paul gives so many examples. Not losing heart. Even during times of great disappointment. Last night we reviewed a little bit of the year 2021. And 2021 was a difficult year for us as a ministry. And it was a difficult year for many of us physically. We said goodbye to many dear loved ones. But 2021 was the year of the greatest blessing of God upon this ministry also. And we lose sight of that, right? You know, one bad thing happens. One bad thing. You win all the games during the year. And you go into the Super Bowl and you play the Giants. And you lose one game. And you forget about the blessing of an undefeated season. But you dwell on that one loss, that one miraculous catch. And us Giants fans, we revel in that. See, we live by faith. You live by sight. So what does a life of faith look like? Not losing heart, even during times of great disappointment. Understanding our role in God's work. Friends, you and I are ambassadors of God in a ministry of reconciliation. Chapter 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. What is an ambassador? Who is an ambassador? An ambassador is someone who's in a foreign country representing the interests of the country that they are an ambassador for. So if I were ambassador to the United States, to the country of the Philippines, I would live somewhere near the embassy in Manila. And I would be representing the interests of America to the Filipino people. But we're ambassadors of Christ. We are all here because we're citizens of another country that we can't see, but we know exists. And we're ambassadors here telling people that they can be reconciled to God and made citizens of that very same country we're citizens of. So know your position, know your role, know your ministry, know your role in God's work, and then embrace that role. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Embrace your role. You're just a clay jar. God is using us. He has filled us with His glory, and He wants to use these earthen vessels. So a life of faith is a life that allows God to use this fragile person. We're all fragile. Some of us may be fragile physically. Some of us may be fragile emotionally, mentally. But you know what? God loves to use those kind of vessels. Because when I exercise faith, the glory and the excellency is not me. It's all of Him. Look what Christ has done. This is a life that pleases Him. 2 Corinthians 5:9. Wherefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. How many of you, don't raise your hand, but how many of you really want to please God? Faith. That's how you do it. Just believe Him and act on it. It's a life that is faithful to God's Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. What Paul is saying is, we don't use this word and twist it to make it suit our beliefs, but we handle the word of God truthfully, not deceitfully. And it's the word of God that people need to hear. Not your opinion. Not my opinion. Why do they need the word of God? Because they need faith. How does faith come? By hearing the word of God. It's all reciprocal. It's a life of patience. It's a life of persistence. So how do we apply this? Well, when we live amongst such affliction, when we, even some of our brethren, when they live amongst persecution, when we live in this world of sin, as we live in a body that is always dying, as we live in a body that doesn't always cooperate, as we live and watch people around us dying, how do we go on? By faith. I don't know what 2022 will hold. I'm sure 2022 will be very similar to 2020 and 2021. Sorry to disappoint you. There's no hope in that fallen world. So don't fix your eyes on what you can see. Fix your eyes on what you can't see. We have the choice to live in light of God's word and the promises I cannot see, or we have the choice to live by sight, what I see around me. Open your Bibles to, in closing, to Luke 17. Friends, living by faith, listen carefully. Living by faith is a confidence that can't be explained by circumstances. Living by faith is a confidence that can't be explained by circumstances. Why is he doing so well? Can't you see what's going on in his life? He's living by faith. I often, when I think of my life of faith, like the disciples, Jesus tells the disciples, you know, if my brother sin against me and he repent, I forgive him. You know, Lord, I'm having a pretty good day if I could do this seven times. Jesus said, no, 70 times seven. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. There are so many times I have to pray, Lord, increase my faith. But you know what I want for us this year as individuals and as a collective church? I want us to live by faith. Live by faith. May 2022 be a year that we all decide to live by faith. By faith, I'm going to vow to God to pray more. By faith, I'm going to read more. By faith, I'm going to attend more services. By faith, I'm going to give more. By faith, I'm going to do more. And friends, you heard some of our vision. We have some big plans. And I love what I believe it was Kerry who said, attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. We want to plant churches, more than just one. We want to build a larger building. We want to have a Bible Institute. We want to have a Christian day school. We want to see souls saved and discipled. How are we going to do all of these impossible things? How? By faith. By faith. Not by rolling up our sleeves, but by faith. It's 2022, Pastor. Churches don't grow anymore. If we live by sight, that's true. You can't start a new Christian school. You can't plant another church. We can't give more. We live by sight, we can't. But if we believe God, we can. Why? Because God can. And I'm just crazy enough to believe God. I believe God. I believe God can. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Let's live by faith this year. Father,